I don't know how I do it. It's been another fantastic week of radio. Just myself looking for stories, booking guests, all on my own. No team behind me whatsoever. And you might have missed my great work over the last week, but don't worry because I'm going to do it all again in...
Friends.
Just friends.
Now I know you know the first bit of what I said is a complete lie. My team are amazing. I have to say that because they're all staring at me. But today's Jen's friends are the wonderful West End and telly star David O'Reilly and poet and writer and performer Ciarán Ní Éagha. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Yeah, excited for Gay World Cup next week.
Sorry, what?
I'm excited for the Gay World Cup next week.
Yes, the Eurovision.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, very excited.
Are you a big Eurovision fan?
Very, like, probably a little bit overkill, a little bit, but yeah. I'm obsessed, love
is
it.
Do you have to, like, is it, like, if you're in a part of the LGBTQ plus community, it's like inherently, you have to be into the Eurovision.
Oh, yeah,
because I said to my friend,
to get into the club.
Yeah, I said to my friend, he goes, I'm having this big Eurovision party. I said, I didn't know you're into Eurovision. He's like, I'm gay. Of course, I have to.
Yeah, it is very much, if you want to get membership, you really have
you
to
have
just
to sign
tick that
up
box
to the Eurovision.
You're not getting in.
Ciarán, are you into the Eurovision? Do you watch it? Do you go to parties? What
I
do you think?
I wasn't into it until I realised it was a cool gay thing. And then I was like, oh, I have to keep my card. I have to be into it.
And how will you watch, celebrate? Do you do the party? Do you dress up? Do you go out?
No, the party's annoying me because no one pays attention.
That's the performer in you.
Yeah, like we really need to take it all on board. Like, yeah, quiet, please.
Let's watch the
performance. Lithuania are really stealing it here, guys.
And who do you think is going to go to? Do you think Ireland has a chance?
No, I mean, this year's is a one horse. No, yes, Ireland do
but
have a chance.
I really
Graham Norton
do think
said they
back
were...
them.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Loreen
is doing it again, Tattoo, and it's a great song. So
okay.
I think maybe she might nail it, but I think Ireland will get through the semi-finals and to the finals, which is great for us because, we haven't.
Done
and then
that
well. What's the other one? The UK's number is good, and then Finland's is absolutely bonkers, and I'm slightly obsessed.
I love Finland. Yeah, they always put out a cracker. Well, you might need to come back and talk to us about the Eurovision. And
I'll
give us
back.
A full debrief.
Absolutely.
And
anything
tell us all
for
about
you,
it.
Zampers.
I'm not watching it. I might watch it. Okay, we need to talk about the subject matter on Tuesday. Because on Tuesday I asked listeners, why do they give their car nicknames? Because I was coming out of the gym and I saw a fella drive a car and it had massive fake eyelashes on it.
Tacky.
Yeah, thank you. I was really disturbed by this. It's like at Christmas time I get really anxious. Because there's people with the red noses and the reindeer ear on the car. I'm like, what? Like, it's an object. Why'd you get that? But then people kept texting in going, oh, well, I name my car Betsy and all this kind of stuff. Where do you stand with car names?
I thought they were very awful. And then I started seeing a guy. My boyfriend named his car. He got a new car and he kept talking about it. A Volkswagen Passat, and he was just talking about it, and the engine and taking pictures of it and scenic backgrounds, and like he was obsessed, and he had named every car he had in this until this point, which I didn't know because I didn't know him.
Okay.
But then he said, like, what will I name my car? So I said, name it Jolene because you talk about it in your sleep. So his car is called Jolene, and I've gotten used to it.
So now you're into it.
Well, I accept it.
You absolute code turner. You did.
Well,
a
I can't drive,
U-turn.
So I have to accept whatever's given. Really.
Okay, because he gives you a lift. Jolene, that's a pretty good name. I love the fact that it was intentional because sometimes I feel with car names, they just come out of nowhere. He was like, we are going to name this car.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it was a big thing as well. I think when he let me name his car, I knew that he was serious about me. Yeah.
Absolutely. What you think it's a disgrace, do you?
I do. I think it's an abomination. Who names their car? And also, those lashes, I Googled it. You know people are doing lips now as well?
Where?
Lips. They put the top lip on the
bonnet.
It the boot bonnet? And the bottom part of the lip on the thing. And I just think, if you really want to give people the ick, please put lips in your... I mean, we're having an eyelash pandemic or epidemic at the moment in Ireland anyway. Girls are putting the ends of sweeping brushes on their lids and they're going to get to 80 and their lids are going to be hanging by their chins. Leave the cars alone because I'm telling you, just tacky, tack. And I can't abide by the names. And also, why is it always men naming their cars women's names? And not even like Bertha or like, you know, like a strong name, like, you know... Queeving. It's always like Betsy and Lulu and Poppy. Lads.
Jolene.
Jolene. Stop it. It's tack.
What? Give it a bloke's name.
Give it a bloke's name. Bernard.
Bernard's a good name.
Yeah, Rocky.
That's a strong name. Rocky's a great name.
Rocky.
Stop it. I'm not going to name my car. I'm not going to do it. And you, I am going to go out on a limb here and say that you're not a driver either because you didn't know what a bonnet was of a car.
I was really hoping you weren't going to bring that up. No, I don't drive.
I knew it.
It's going to be cancelled.
I knew it.
Cancelled.
On Wednesday, calls and texts flooded in after I spoke. I spoke bravely about how I had a zero sense of direction. Like zero sense of direction. I went for a walk on Tuesday morning and I got lost in UCD and I started to panic. I was nearly sending smoke signals, but then I heard cars from the N11. I was like crawling across the ditch trying to get out of UCD. Found my way out. I have a really bad sense of direction. You never get lost?
No, I have got a fantastic sense of direction. I don't know what it is. I think it's from living in... And you lived in London as well, so you shouldn't... Yeah.
I was more in Bristol, which is not as stressful.
No, it's not. It's just up a lot of hills, which wouldn't suit me at all. But in London, you're down loads and little nooks and crannies and stuff like that. And so I'm like Dora the Explorer, like, and it's amazing. But my mom is... She's not great. She's not great. She's not very good at familiarising herself with spaces and often gets quite confused. And I was telling the guys a story yesterday that when we were younger, she went off shopping and came back and she was like laughing away to herself. I'm like, what's happened? And she was in the supermarket and she heard, "Mom, Mom!" And she was running around the supermarket going, "Yes, yes." "No, it wasn't your child, Mom. It wasn't your child." She forgot that she hadn't brought her children shopping.
Okay. See, I'm like your mother. I just don't pay attention to what I'm doing in the moment because I have millions of other things on the go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. How's your sense of direction? Are you...
Woeful.
Woeful. Great.
I always have to look at maps to remember if Mayo or Galway's on top. Like, my dad's from Mayo.
Who's on top? Mayo or Galway?
Not like that, dude.
Do you depend then on Google Maps?
Yeah, and I think we're all worse off now because instead of actually just depending on what you see, you just look at the little blue dot. Like, I wait until the blue dot starts moving and I know which direction I'm going in then. Yeah.
So I got lost this week. I also remember getting lost in JFK Airport car park. My sister couldn't find a car and it was very stressful. We were walking around for hours. Do you remember the last time you got lost? Was it as a child, as an adult?
But no, I don't genuinely get lost. But the thing about JFK Airport is they're like... That, I'm sure they built it like, you know, the Harry Potter staircases where they just change. You know what I mean? That is like the Americans love, you know, architecture that is just never going to give you any sort of familiarity to get back to where you need to. But still, I smash it.
Of course you do. Yesterday we heard that Sainsbury's over in the UK will now need... Well, if you're shopping in Sainsbury's, you're going to need a receipt to exit the shop. Okay? I know. So... I thought, well, I get really freaked out if a security guard looks at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? Do you think I stole something? Like, I get really paranoid. I was in a shop recently and I was just about to pay and a security guard just stood in front of me, just staring at me. I was like, because I was in a baseball cap and, you know, Nike Air Max. I was like, that is a disgrace. How dare... I was saying to my daughter, who's 18, he's looking, he thinks, how dare... I was about to give him one and... he was looking out for me because something had smashed and he was getting one of his colleagues to come over and sweep it up so I didn't cut myself or hurt myself. But instantly I thought, he thinks I'm stealing. And that's how the Sainsbury's customers, I think, are feeling. They think, you know, they're presuming that we're all thieves and it's awful. But Kira, you're a shoplifter.
But like that, Jen.
She's got a look of shoplifter about her.
Okay, let's clarify. You took something when you were four.
Yeah, when I was very young. I remember my sister...
Disgraceful.
...told me. It just came back to me like a repressed memory yesterday. She was like, you know, you can open stuff in the shop. And I was like, what? So I remember I opened up an ice cream like sauce or something and I poured it into my mouth.
Classy.
And then I left it on the shelf and I went. And then I went back to get it. And there was like a security guard waiting there. And he was like, are you looking for... So dramatic. Are you looking for this? And I was like so horrified and I ran away. And I never told my mom. And it was one of those like, you know, by the time I got to do a confession when I was 8, like that was up there on my list of sins. Like, yeah.
That is terrible. You have to watch 4-year-olds because they have an awful habit of throwing stuff into the buggy and then you're walking out with Christmas decorations. You're like, I have to go all the way back to Dunn's now and go, I'm really sorry, but my 4-year-old just stole a load of Christmas decorations. It's terrible. So Sainsbury's are very untrusting, but I think businesses have to be like that to protect their business. Are you a trusting person, David? it? Are you, you know, would you trust people in general? Are you, or are you quite skeptical?
No, I don't trust people. A lifetime of life has really got me down. I tend not to trust people, but then I get annoyed if people don't trust me. I remember being in a, I won't name the store in Piccadilly Circus.
Well done.
And they had a tire over a number of floors. So I went in, I picked up some socks on one floor, and as I went to go to the next floor, all I can describe as a banshee came towards me screaming at the top of her voice. I was mortified, so that was it. The back was up. Mm. She's like, you can't take that onto another floor. I said, I will pay for it because I want to buy some trainers downstairs. Can't do that. Okay, sorry, are they two different stores? No. Okay, so what's the problem? You can't do that. Okay, well, I tell you what, there's your socks back. Mm. I'm not going to buy them. And just so you know, and I cannot believe I said this, I'm a journalist for a leading newspaper. And I,
that old
will
chestnut.
I will be taking it up with my editor tomorrow. She didn't give a crap. And she just looked at me as if to say. No.
Okay, so you're on the majority of Sainsbury's customers' side going, like, this is, you're treating us very untrustingly and this is not cool this is not on.
Scanning your receipt, they're going to be looking for bloods next just to get out of it. Like, what is that about?
Yeah, and what a huge amount of money to spend, because even just the technology to get that done, you have to scan your receipt and it's a whole palaver. They must have spent thousands and thousands and thousands to save what? Because somebody robbed a Granny Smith or something.
Well, I also do think then, I like having lived in London and just actually been there this week, people do literally go in, walk right in, take it and walk back out. I have seen that.
Oh, wow. So okay. So better security guards, maybe?
Better security guards, yeah.
Yeah. Don't presume everyone is a thief, because we're not. Okay. I need to talk about memories. I don't know if you know this, but Nicolas Cage claimed he remembered being in the womb. Okay. I had a great laugh about this because scientists are saying that we don't actually have any real memory until we're about 2.5, 3. Now, once I said this, I was shamed. There was a bit of hate going on because everybody was like, no, Jen, you're wrong. Okay. Don't believe everything science says, because it's only right until they're proven wrong. And so many people text in about their earliest memories, which was bizarre, very vivid. We got so many. Do you have an early memory? Do you remember what it was?
Maybe going out to Bray on the train when I was 4, but like nothing profound. Like I think that's very weird. So, and that's just Nicolas Cage being, I'm going to be a method actor and just be like, you know, remember the colours and all. It's so wanky, and that's why we get bad names. That is why we get bad names. I don't believe that for a second.
Are you good at remembering people? Because in your job, I mean, with shows and stuff like that and being in the musical theatre world, there's a lot of people banging around, you know? Are you good at remembering everybody? Would you remember everyone's face and name?
Yeah, I am. I'm quite good. I mean, what I'm...
Kira, what are you doing?
Sorry.
She's wrecking the place.
She just tried to throw something at me.
Kira, please. Calm down, woman.
My turn.
I am. I'm good. I'm good at remembering people. What I have an annoyance is where if you've met someone before... And then they're like, so if I said, Kira, this is Jen, you've met before. And then a couple of weeks later, I was like, Kira, you know Jen. And then Jen is trying to say, I don't. Hi, nice to meet you. That gets my back up.
Really? Oh, yeah, God, I do that all the time.
If I met you once and then we meet again and you've literally not remembered, it's like, I don't know why I find this offensive.
Maybe rude. It's
my, well, no, maybe I'm just so up my own hole. I'm that self-important that I think everyone should remember how amazing I am.
Remember, you must not remember people all the time, though. Because people must see you and on stage and then think that like they know you and you don't know them. That must happen to you.
Well, I had it once recently where a girl moved in with one of my best friends and she was Irish, and she said to Amy, oh yeah, I know David O'Reilly. I've never met this girl before. Like, I know I haven't met her. And then it transpired that she didn't know me. She just, well, she knew what, she was a fan, probably.
She was a fan.
She was a fan.
Your old flatmate had just texted in saying, David, you did meet her before. You actually went for dinner with her and you're just so up your own hole that you didn't remember at the time. Sorry, the text in. Just, yeah, I read back the text.
When I needed a beard. When I needed a beard. Back in the straight days, gone for dinner with girls.
Okay, we need to talk about your condition.
Yes. Well,
okay, tell people. I don't believe it. I think it's a front because you can't be arsed, but go on.
It's not a diagnosed condition. It's just something that happens in my life, Jen. So I can't recognise faces from each other very well. So I was watching a movie. This actually happened. I was watching The Departed and I thought that Matt Damon and Leonardo DiCaprio were the same person until about halfway through. And I asked a question like, how is he? And someone was like, they're different people, Kira. So I often have to ask people. I need to focus on something like the hair or the glasses or something to kind of give me an idea. And then people say that I'm sexist, that I only can't recognise men's faces. in films, but it's actually just...
Is that why you keep looking at me
character.
Every time Jennifer talks?
You both have glasses on.
Yeah, we both got glasses on. Very similar looking humans.
That is crazy. Face blindness.
I just cannot... I find it very hard to recognise people from each other, yeah.
Wow. So is there tools that you use to try and, you know, work on that? So picking out something distinctive like, Jen has glasses, stuff like
I think,
that.
And I think people say that it's, you know, they're like, you're not as bad at women, but I think women have a more variety. So, you know, like the hair is different, the colour, the outfits, but like one man and another man and another man, like they all look the same.
Oh, wow. Can we clip that? All men
look
not
David,
the same.
Though, may I just say, he looks very fabulous.
I
recognise David.
Yeah, but I often get called madam, so excuse me, ma'am.
Do you have an earliest memory?
I think I blocked them all out, Jen.
Really? But if you could go back, because it's funny, we started talking about earliest memories and I was going, I remember my first day of school, I was 4. But then I went, no, actually, I remember play school. I remember being thrown into some woman's garage across the road and given a rich tea and diluted orange. And I remember being in her cold garage and, you know, with a load of other kids.
Yeah.
And it was... It was bizarre, but I have that memory. Or do I? I don't know. But I think that's my earliest memory. So I think I can go back to 3.
I remember play school too. You just reminded me. My auntie had a play school, so I got preferential treatment.
Did you get rich tea biscuits? Did you get butter between the rich tea?
Chocolate. I remember being under the table eating chocolate, like hiding from the other kids because I was, you know, nepotism.
Oh my God. Baby. It'll get you a long way in life. I'm telling you. Bit of nepotism. Absolutely love it. I need to talk about anxiety really quickly because yesterday we asked about people's methods of dealing with anxiety because a lot of people have very different things that they do, which is quite interesting. Some people poured water on their arms. Some people put their hand on their heart. What is your way of fighting off the nerves, you know, especially when you're on stage and you know, doing your thing? Is there something that you do religiously or what is it?
This is going to sound maybe a bit counterintuitive for anxiety, but just remembering that I'm going to die.
Lovely.
Makes me feel very calm.
I get that.
Yeah. Because what could possibly go wrong, really, on stage that, you know...
It's a great way to look at it.
Isn't it?
I was saying yesterday to Kira that Bianca Del Rio has a great saying that if someone annoys you, she turns around and she says to you, just remember, they're going to die someday. It's a great way of dealing with it.
You are dark. I can't believe that is
no, but
so
it is.
Dark.
If they annoy you, right? Someone's been horrible to you. They're going to die one day.
So you're telling me, Jason Donovan, before he gets on stage doing Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the Queen's most joyous musical of all time, he's thinking, it doesn't matter what happens on stage, I'm going to die soon. Like, is that what you actors are thinking, like, before you go out there? How do you... You've done a lot of big stages, David. What's going through your head?
Well... For me, I was really thinking about this because I don't know if I get anxious about going on stage anymore, but I have, and it is diagnosed OCD, right? Mm. So I've picked up loads of little rituals before a show, which can be exhausting. So like, I have to put on my shoes on one right foot, then the left foot. I have to use a certain deodorant. I have to use a certain cologne. I have to wash my hands maybe with certain intervals. I just did a one-man play in London in January and February, and the routine was that I had to walk outside down to the toilets at the back and go back. I couldn't use the toilet right next to me because if I walked down to the toilets at the back, it would give me time to go through the lines. Like, just really random, irrational kind of rituals. So they're the sort of things I think I'd clasp onto to kind of get myself through that anxious. Because, listen, life there is very, as we all know here, we've all done it, can be very, very, very exposing, you know? So yeah, ritual. And then also I find a good drink.
Yes.
Good drink.
The Irish nation would find a good drink, would do that for them. You
know? Not the next morning, though. Not
the next morning.
Right. Maybe not.
Have you ever had a drink and then gone on stage, Kira?
Yes.
Do you find it helps or do you find it hinders you?
I find like in the words, because I like perform poetry and things, and the words go into this box in my head that is just locked then sometimes. So like I'm and I get to this block, so I don't like to drink before I go on stage.
I couldn't think of anything worse
than
having a drink before going on stage. I think that is because the thought of, I remember doing the Deirdre O'Kane show when she had a chat show, and she's very relaxed and she's a stand up and, you know, and it was on set. But I was like, oh, I can't, because the fear, I would just have the fear of.
Have you ever done a Phil and Holly?
No.
And come to work and.
Being absolutely so
plastered
hungover.
From the night over.
I can honestly say no.
The team are saying yes, but she
can't. No,
they're not.
Violently. Honestly, no. I wouldn't do it to myself because I think that would just be a horrific.
So do you have to be in a certain, like to come in, when you come in here, do you get anxiety still when you're on the radio? You don't?
No. I did in the early days, but I do think with something like this and with live telly and shows and performing on stage, a lot is to do with air miles. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
The more you do, the more comfortable you get. I mean, you're always going to be nervous the first time, but then you kind of get not used to it. You'll always have a little pang of nerves, and that's really good because adrenaline is a magic ingredient, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
But before you do a live telly show or whatever, I do find the more experience you have, it really helps. Really helps.
Oh, even with Dancing with the Stars, would you be as nervous as you? No, that's amazing. I love
not
that.
Not anymore.
But you can tell that when you watch you. Look at me really licking her eyes. You can tell that when you watch
somebody's going to ask back.
Let's talk about me. We can never get him. He's always too busy. Lastly, artificial intelligence freaked out. I think I have a little low level anxiety because of AI. And we had to talk about it because it's just frightening. How do you feel about it? As creative artists, the two of you, do you feel safe or does the idea of a computer doing your job just give you the creeps? Kira, what do you think?
Gives me the creeps.
Does it?
Yeah, especially for things like, you know, I did a voiceover last month, a bit of voiceover work, and it pretty much paid my rent, which I was really worried about. And then I was thinking, oh, it won't be long before they just have AI for that. So I won't have any of them. So not only the creative work will get taken, but the pays the bills work too. So, yeah.
What do you think, David?
Terrifying. Okay. Absolutely terrifying.
Well, let me... Graham thinks it will never replace it. And he thinks that art will become more valuable because...
Look at the show.
No.
The only reason I say, Graham, don't you dare look at me like that. And the only reason I say is, if you look at over in London, ABBA Voyage,
yeah,
right? These holograms of people dancing on stage, it terrifies me because producers now struggle to put shows on anyway because they're so expensive. If they look at that, they're right, we'll book performers for 2 weeks, get them in a hologram studio, film them all, and then put it on a screen.
Just about the ABBA thing, right? Because I am going to see it. I've been suckered in. What? It's not like they get tired. They're holograms. Why is it so short? It is so short.
And also, if I haven't seen it, but a friend told me this week that in between numbers, there's videos for their costume changes.
Like,
are they going for wee breaks and water breaks? What on earth are you putting videos in between numbers?
Keep them going. Keep them going. They're not even taking advantage of
that. I have workers' rights too.
Yes.
I have workers' rights.
They have some kind of union. Listen, thank you so much for joining me for Jen's Friends discussing the topics of the week. Kiernie, what is happening with you? What's going on?
Oh yeah, I've got a show on next week.
Funny that.
In the International Dublin Gay Theatre Festival. Mm-hmm. It's called Grinder, Cider, August Share. And it's three interwoven monologues, three different characters, one fateful night in the gay bar. So, Tashi Oscoelga, and there's English language subtitles, which we worked really hard on. So even if you don't have any Gaelga, you can come and enjoy the show.
I'm definitely going to go see it. What are you up to, pal?
Well, I can't really say just yet, but let's just say my...
every time!
No. Okay, I'll say it. I'm taking over as the host of The Late Late in September. I'm delighted to tell everyone, myself and Linda Martin will be splitting it. And Twink will be appearing too. Thanks.
I can't wait. Will you? Oh, that means you're not going to come back to me. No, you'll still come back, will you?
Have they not told her yet? I'm taking over from Jen as well. Jen Zamparelli on RTE QFM.